say this excited all the time. Now, today again, we are celebrating our fathers. Now, it will be a day of phone calls are made, pictures are colored, and painted hand prints are made into perfect pieces of art to adorn the walls of the house. It's a day when children show their appreciation to their fathers for at least a few minutes before Dad pays for lunch and opens his bottle of Walmart cologne. Fathers may very well be the most unappreciated and undervalued people in the world.
Amen.
You gotta say that again. Fathers may very well be the most unappreciated and undervalued people in the world.
Amen.
That's right, Bush. I got over there, bro. Now, why do fathers keep on going? Keep on giving up. I know fathers, y'all have asked that question time and time again. Why is it that we keep on giving? Because we're in great hopes that one day, when we're old, that our children will have a house big enough to have a basement and let us live there rent-free. I hope this happens for me, because I have a plan already formulated. I'm already picking out an MP3 and downloading files of music that I'm going to play whenever I feel like I want to. I've already decided that I'm going to turn the toilet paper roll the wrong way. And when the toilet paper is empty, I'm just going to leave it empty. And when it falls on the floor in pieces, I'm just going to let it fall. And when I miss the toilet, oh well, I miss the toilet. Right? This is my time to shine. This morning, I do want to paint a picture and preach a message entitled, A Perfect Picture of a Father's Love. So let's look at John chapter 1. What does a father's love look like? God doesn't leave us in the blind. He never has. He makes it simple for us to see and to understand. But we have to see it and understand. I believe the scripture, I could have probably read all of the book, the first chapter of John, and it would apply, but I'm going to start in verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. The scripture says, He was in the world, and the world was created through Him, yet the world did not recognize Him. Now, who are we talking about there this morning? Jesus. Do you understand that the majority of the world today, even though the largest religion in the world is Christianity, that the vast majority of the world still today does not recognize Jesus? And he was there during creation. He was one of the three during creation. Verse 11 says, He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, and the glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exalted and explained, This was the one of whom I said, The one coming after me has surpassed me because he existed before me. Indeed, we have all received grace after grace, and I want to add after grace from his fullness. For although the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That should be an unbelievable amen. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, asking, Lord, to forgive us of our sins and where we fail. We thank God that the world that we live in, where it's tough to be a father, or where there's some of us whose fathers are already with you, or they've gone off. God, there's times when we're of all ages, God, we're still alone and we wish that we could talk to our father. God, we thank you that you're there always to hear us and listen to us and talk. We thank you for how much you love us, what you've done for us. Help us to celebrate who you brought us. In Jesus' name, let me pray. And all God's children said, amen. And again, this morning, the message is titled, The Perfect Picture of Father's Love. Now, can I tell you that it's not hard to love a baby? It's not. Jennifer, it's not hard to love a baby. I love babies. I love how they look, how soft they feel. I love how babies smell, not the dirty diaper smell. Okay? I love how babies smell fresh and clean right out of the bathroom, baby lotion, all that. I love to watch a baby smile. I love watching them as they experience something brand new for the very first time. The expression on their faces and the reactions to a new touch. Babies are easy to love. They are. It's when they start to get older is when you decide whether this being a parent thing is worth it or not. When they're very sweet baby, doesn't matter what they do. Listen, you try to calm them down. Your pastor did some things this past week with my grandchild, Winnie Kate. I wouldn't do. I'm telling you, I got on my hands and knees on the cruise ship just crawling with her. In the hallways, people walking by looking, I don't care. I'm trying to pacify this child. I don't know who you are. Go along. We can get you a drink or something. And she turned the corner and she started climbing up the stairs and Pop was right there along with her. We do things for our children, our grandchildren, or for babies, and we love babies. It's the older things. Oh, when they get older, you start to question and scratch your head. Is that all right, Wendy Baker? Yeah. Just pull your hair out. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to say it the third time, unfortunately, children do grow up. They'll drink all of your milk and leave it in the empty jug in the refrigerator. They will borrow your socks, and you will never, ever, ever see them ever again. Your children will be the sweetest children that have ever walked the planet when they want something from you. Oh, Daddy, I love you. Ooh, I love you. When they want something from you. I bet you'll remember I asked you a question. What's that? Yeah. You're not sitting there. Oh, she's your children. And when they want something, but when you want something from them, they closely resemble the little girl who was possessed in the movie The Exorcist. Can you cut the grass? Can you please put your clothes away that are in your brother's room? I'll move on. Your children, without a doubt, will borrow your car many times and will always bring it back consistently with less gas than when they borrowed it. If it has enough gas to even get you to the gas station. During these wondrous years, as a parent, we often look back at the good times of when our children were babies. We look forward to the times when they'll be grown, contemplating what life will be like when they get something, get out. And it's actually where we placed it, and we look forward to finding things where we last placed it, because we actually placed it there and we have to move it. Now, some of y'all think that you've got ghosts or gremlins in your house, and it's not, it's just your children. Because you put something, a roll of tape disappears in the house. Car key. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Remote controls. I have this crazy, you know, concept, Tony. This is crazy. I have a recliner up in the man cave, which is supposed to be for the man, not the children, the man. And there's a little drum right there. And every night, what I do is I turn the TV off, or Amy turns it off, and I put the remote control right there. Every time. I have three remotes. The remote for the fan, turns the fan on and off. The remote for the TV, and the remote for the fire stick. It's right there. Perfect. Next day I go upstairs, and guess what? They're gone. And it's not, it's damn. It's not rabbits. It's not ghosts. It's children! God gave us a picture, men, of what a perfect father looks like. And it's hard at times to follow the pattern that he's given us, but it's a plow. We can do it. Now, being a good father is being able to recognize that. And the first thing we need to recognize is this. Church, we need to recognize that they're grown and not hold them back. I believe as we look at the scripture this morning, we can understand when our children are grown, not hold them back, and let them go. We see this morning's scripture. We see that God has his son, and they've been together since before the world was created. Much, much longer than the short period of time that we spend with our children from babies to adulthood. Yet, there was still an appointed time when God had to let his son go. Now, I wonder if it was as hard for God as it was for us. Now, you think all the way back in the book of Genesis, when God is talking about creating man, he says, let's create man in our own image. Who was God talking about there? Moses records it. Who is God talking about there? He's talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Trinity is seen right there. God and his Son are in the book of Genesis, all the way back there. They are together for a long period of time before Jesus comes into the world. But listen, there was a point in time where God had to let him go. He had to let him go. He had a job to do, a ministry to fulfill, and God had to let him go. I wonder if it was any harder for God to let him go as it is for us to let our own children go. Being a father has been able to let them go, church. We know because we've seen it through the Gospels that God did something else. God spoke to his son. While he walked on this earth, God loved his son and gave him the direction all through life. A man, church, is not truly a man until he cannot pick up the phone and call his father for advice. And many of us, myself included, have entered that wonderful time of manhood when we can no longer call our fathers for advice. Then, only then, are you making decisions on your own. Can I tell you that being a man at times is not at all fun? I would love to call my father and ask him for advice right now. I'd love to call Calvin Morrow and sit down and ask him about 100 questions. It's tough. Listen, it's tough being a father. It's tough being a man. But can I honestly tell you something? There's never been a time where I have needed my father that I haven't been able to call on God the Father. There's never been a time where I've needed the advice of my dad that I haven't been able to call on God, and he's touched my heart and let me know that he's there. He let me know that he cares, and he's always given me an answer. Steve, even if the answer's no, I've always gotten an answer. That's the picture of a perfect father. Church, God also allowed his son to be treated like a regular man. Listen to me. I'm not going to just, y'all know me, I'm not going to tiptoe around this. I'm not. Some of you need to write notes. Some of you need to pay close attention because we are creating a society of a bunch of sissy children and sissy adults that don't know how to cope in this world. And we look and we try to blame this and we try to blame that and we try to blame the government, try to blame teachers and school teachers, and it's not their fault. Listen, it is your fault. God allowed his son to be treated like a regular man in the world, and he did not step in to take control, and he could have. At any time during the life of Jesus, God could have saw the way Jesus, his son, was treated. And he says, oh no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. But he didn't. He absolutely did not. Church, I have seen parents who think their little demonic babies are perfect and demand them, even when they demand that they're something, that they defend them, even when they're wrong. 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting up in my man cave with my woman right beside me watching TV, and she's on her computer. And she comes as close to a Christian can cussing, but she didn't cuss. And she was reading the emails from a parent of a demonic child. And this is what happened. The child went to her class and did nothing. You see, teachers give what's called, some of y'all need to pay attention, assignments to the students. And the students are to complete the assignments. And it's they give a time period. And once the time period is passed, the children cannot turn it in anymore. And therefore, listen, they don't get an A for doing nothing. They get a zero. Okay? So we're sitting there, and this mom is saying, why did Johnny make it in? And Amy's just over there gasping. I'm thinking, it ain't Halloween. What's going on? She said, this woman is trying to defend her son, saying her son turned into work. And no, he didn't. No, he did not. You know what the mother wrote back? Yes, he did. How do you know? How do you know? You're telling a teacher who teaches a child that the child turned into work that he didn't turn in. Right? You are defending a demonic little demon. I hope she doesn't listen to this message. Listen, we've got to let our children go. Let them make their own mistakes. Listen, Jesus did nothing wrong, yet God did not step in to save him. What kind of restraint do you think was being demonstrated for us today? We have got to stop babying our children and allow them to be regular people who make their own decisions, even if they are the wrong and bad decisions. And it's tough being a parent watching your child make bad decisions. It's tough when you can do nothing about it. But God allowed it, and he did it. Church, I can honestly tell you from my own experiences of 48 years that I've learned more from the very bad decisions that I've made in life than the good ones that I've ever made. I've learned from my bad mistakes. Have you? I really have. I can tell you just about every bad decision I've made with perfect recollection. But I have to think hard to remember the good decisions that I've made. That's not to say that I haven't made great decisions and all that, but I perfectly remember all the bad mistakes. And I think God allows me to. You know why? So I don't make them again. The bad decisions that I make, they still hurt. When I think about them, some of them, I mean, they tear me apart. I wish, like anything, I could go back and fix them, but I can't. Neither can your children. But if you allow them to make those mistakes, once they come back, listen, they'll be stronger for it. Let's look at verse 16. Verse 16 says this. Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from his fullness. For although the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Did you see what happened there? We just saw God step back. Listen, we're not talking about a king or a parent. We're talking about God. God stepped back. He stepped back here and he did something amazing. We just saw God step back and allow his son to be equal to him and to become the savior of the world. God is not exalted by his action. And he is perfectly fine with that. He is exalted through the actions of his son. Children, listen to me here. All you who are children, listen to me here. What your parents get more pride from than any other place in the world is what I'm about to say here. Where we feel the more accomplished as parents is when someone tells us how wonderful our children are and how proud they are of what they have done. When this happens, we are exalted through our children's actions. When your parents allow you to honor, when your parents allow you and your own to be your own person and to honor and to become honoring unto God, there is no greater feeling as a Christian parent than watching your child follow after God and not the world. There's no greater. And listen, parents, I want you to understand, if you've got a child who's wandering the world and you raised them right, there's nothing that you've done wrong. You've done everything right. There's only so much you can do. There's only so much love, only so much Jesus, only so many youth camps, only so many youth groups, only so many scriptures, only so many prayers. There's nothing that you can do but continue to pray, continue to love unto Jesus. Billy Graham was once asked by a very cynical and liberal reporter, "So, Mr. Graham, we understand how you feel about homosexuality. What would you do if you found out that your son was a homosexual?" He said, "I'd love him that much more than Jesus. I'd pray for him that much more than Jesus. I'd be on my knees more, and I'd love him more to Jesus." And that's what we need to do, church. Just love him to Jesus. The last thing that we see as we look at this perfect Father, and what this perfect Father looks like, is that God the Father welcomed his son back home. He welcomed him home. When Jesus finished his 33-year ministry here on the earth, when he had completed the task of suffering and sin on the cross, when he was raised from the dead and walked the earth for 40 days to prove to the world that he was alive, he went home and was welcomed home by his Father. Church, there's nothing like going home. There's nothing like going home. Now, I've been away from Rock Hill, South Carolina, going on 20 years. But there's something about going home. There's nothing like seeing familiar places and loving faces. But there's nothing like seeing your mother or your father after you haven't seen them for a long period of time. Church, this, understand this, this is not our home. It's not. We try to make it our home. But this world is not our home. Heaven is our home that God created and is creating for those who love him. Your actions will determine whether or not you will be welcomed home or allowed to even come in. Now, fathers, we can't ever be perfect here on this earth. I know some of y'all think you are. But you can't ever be that perfect on this earth. But we can come close if we model the example that was set before us by God himself. Children, if you want to show the love to your fathers, then follow the direction Jesus wants to give you in your life. Know that when you get home, you'll be welcome. Let me ask you a question. Do you know my Jesus? Do you really know my Jesus? Let's all stand. Let's bow down. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for putting up with us, Lord. God, I know if we were in your position, we wouldn't put up with what you put up with. Lord, you constantly give us grace and love and mercy. You give us chance after chance after chance. You call us home and we push you away. You're begging us to come back to you and we push you away. God, you never stop pursuing after us as long as we have life. Lord, I thank you for that. God, help us to fall back in love with you. You are what you've done for our lives. Lord, you gave all for us. Help us to give back to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. You can come this morning.